I would like to speak about abiding in the Lord. You know, this came to me. I said, Lord, what can I speak about considering the current circumstances, what we're watching on the news, and what do you have? Because I don't like to give a message like, oh, let me look through my notes and let me see what I think is appropriate. No, that's not the way to give a message. Like, Lord, what do you have? What do you want to say to your people? Not like what's easiest for me. And sometimes it gets difficult to put the message together. But what came to me for this morning's message, especially considering the environment, this war going on in Russia and Ukraine, what message could I give? And it came to me, abiding in the Lord. In the Gospel of John, Jesus instructed us to abide in him. What does abide mean? Let's define abide before we go into the subject. Abide means to live with, to remain with, and to have communion with. Okay? To live with, to remain with, and to have communion with. I want to read to you Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read in the King James Version. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we want to be in these last days, in the shadow of the Almighty. If you abide in the Lord, you will be in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So with all that's going on in the world today and in this war, the Lord is our refuge. He's a wall of protection around us. He is our fortress. In him we could trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Cover you with his feathers, like a hen gathers the chicks under the wings. That's the way God is with us. He is our protection. I don't care what's going on in this world. God is our protection. If you're under his wings, you're protected. In these end times in which we are living, we want to and need to abide in the secret place of the Most High. I don't know of a better place to be when I'm watching the news. Abide in the secret place of the Most High, as we are instructed in Psalm 91, and to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Not under the shadow of a government, no. Governments can fail you when they do. Under the shadow of the Almighty. You're protected there. Seeing that we are living in last days and that Jesus' signs of the end times are occurring, this war between Russia and Ukraine, we want to and need to abide in the Lord and stay close to him. Abiding in him, we can trust God as our fortress and be confident under his wings. Now it says over there, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. You have faith in the truth and the faithfulness of God. What is the New Testament? How does the New Testament in Ephesians refer to faith as a shield? His truth, his faithfulness shall be your shield and your buckler. In reference to abiding in him, Jesus began this teaching in John chapter 15 by saying, I am the true vine. By saying true vine, he was indicating that there are other vines that are not good and detrimental to our spiritual life. By saying true vine, Jesus was saying that he alone is the source of life. You know, if the branch is no good, if it's dying, it's not going to put out good leaves. In about a month or so, you're going to see leaves come out on the branches of trees and bushes, whatever. But if the branch is dead, it's not going to put out leaves. So you need true life in the branch. Jesus is our true vine. And he alone is the source of life in our lives. We want to be attached to and abide in the true vine and receive proper nourishment for life. Our lives cannot be complete unless we are truly abiding in the Lord. Let's turn to John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. So John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 11, I'll give you a moment to get there. Gospel of John chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Here it goes. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Verse 4, abide in me. Our focus should always be Jesus. Draw life from the Lord by studying his word, which is nourishment for your spirit. This is how we abide in him. Stay in touch with the Lord always through prayer. Drink living water through a filling and a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Abide in Jesus and he in you, because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. There is a saying which is the only one who can satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. The only one who could satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. Only in Jesus could a person find the true reason for living and the true meaning of life. Only in him could a person's life be complete. Only in Jesus is there fullness of joy, as we sang this morning. Only he can properly direct every step of your life. The branch that abides in the vine, which is Jesus, will bear the fruit that he is looking for. And in verse 8, the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. The only way we can bear fruit is by abiding in Jesus and he in us, because without him, we can't accomplish anything. Without him, but Jesus said, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Man is nothing without Jesus. We need him for our next breath. Now, in the Old Testament, we have a prominent person who understood what it meant to abide in the Lord. If you could turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6, some beautiful verses back here in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6. Genesis chapter 15 verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So Abram is this prominent person who understood what it meant to abide in the Lord. And notice the communion that Abraham had with God. Because Abraham was abiding in the Lord, he got to know him. And he believed the word of the Lord and his promises. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. I'll read them to you, referring to Abraham. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Abraham went out to receive this inheritance, not knowing where he was going, at the age of 75 years old." This is the faith that Abraham had because he was abiding in the Lord. Now, verse 10 of Hebrews, referring to Abraham. "For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." If Abraham was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God, it shows that he was abiding in the Lord and his vision was heavenward important. This is how much Abraham was abiding in the Lord. His vision was heavenward. He looked for a city whose builder and architect is God. If you could turn with me a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 17, and we'll read verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 17 and verses 1 to 8. "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be called the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants forever. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.'" I just want to stop there for a minute. A side note, verse 8, "I will give the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession." You notice all the countries going against Israel, they're not winning. God says something. He's not fooling around. He said, I'll give it to you for an everlasting possession. The countries that are against Israel, they can keep fighting against Israel. It's not going to work, because God said, I'll give it to you for an everlasting covenant. And again, in these verses, we can see the communication, the communion that Abraham had with God. He had this communication and knew God because he was abiding in him. We have another reading over here. This is really beautiful. Just a page ahead. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 17 to 33. This is very beautiful over here. Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 17 to 33. Sounds like a lot of verses. It's not too long, and it's really beautiful. What a lesson is here. So starting at verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his households after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account. And Abraham replied, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. He spoke to him yet again and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he said, I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on the account of the 20. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on the count of the 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. So going back to verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Because Abraham was abiding in the Lord, he did not hide from him what he was about to do to Sodom. The Lord felt and knew that he could tell Abraham his judgment on Sodom. Because Abraham abode in the Lord and knew him, he was able to intercede for the city of Sodom. From abiding in him, notice how well Abraham began to learn about the nature and the character of God. Pay close attention here. Verse 23. Now watch how well Abraham got to know the character and the nature of God. Will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? verses 24 and 25. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Notice how Abraham knew the character of God. That be far from you to do that. Abraham had to know God in order to say something like that. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Abraham was abiding in the Lord and got to know him. Abraham showed dignity and respect and reverence for the Lord. The beginning of chapter 18 informs us that Abraham fed the Lord and the angels that were with him. He abode in the Lord so much and had so much communion with him that Abraham was called the friend of God. You can read that in James chapter 2, verse 23. Can we be called the friend of God? Are we abiding in him? Notice that Abraham developed faith and trust in God from abiding in him. Abraham believed God. Another example of how Abraham was abiding in the Lord can be seen in the times when he built altars for him. These were places where Abraham would be in communion with and worship God. I'll read to you Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis chapter 13, verse 18. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Are we abiding in him? Do we worship the Lord and have communion with him as Abraham had? Or have the cares of this world and wrong priorities choked out and replaced the time that we should be giving to the Lord? Do we have altars for the Lord in our lives, or do they have to be rebuilt? Have the distractions and improper priorities damaged or tore down the altars in your life? Are the altars still there in your life? How much time do we spend with God in prayer and studying him? We don't want to just read about the Lord. We want to study him and know him. There is so much more that we can learn about the Lord. How well do we know him this morning? As we sang, or as we sing, sometimes we sing the chorus, "I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you." Do we know the Lord well enough to really say something like that? Do we know the Lord the way Abraham knew the Lord? Are we abiding in the Lord? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." What priority, what value do we place on the greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus? We need to know Jesus much better. How can we have strength and wisdom and endurance for the day if we don't spend time with him? We need to abide in the Lord. We need to have an altar before the Lord. Not a good idea. We need to have an altar before the Lord. What about quality time? Quality time with Jesus. There is an old saying, "Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are." Our friends rub off on us. Whether we want to or not, our friends rub off on us. We want Jesus to rub off on us. What better person to rub off on us? We want Jesus to rub off on us. Are we abiding in Him? This morning we sang from the song, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus, May I Prove I've Been with Jesus. When Moses came down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments, the glow of the Lord was so bright on his face had to be covered with a veil. Do we spend enough time with Jesus that people can see that we have been with Him? The more you abide in Jesus, the more you will become like Him. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a wonderful testimony. You know, maybe the disciples didn't have any advanced degrees. Maybe they weren't taught under Gamaliel the way Paul was. But what a testimony they had. They had been with Jesus. That's the best education. We want to abide in the Lord. We hope and pray that others will see Jesus in us and that He increases in our lives and we decrease. There's that song by a Christian contemporary artist, I Miss My Time With You. Larnell Harris wrote this. There he was just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait, to be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day. I would have passed him by again if I didn't hear him say, I miss my time with you. Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart. This is Jesus speaking. There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. We don't want the Lord to have to tell us, I miss my time with you. The Lord wants to spend quality time with us. We should feel extremely privileged. What are we going to do about it? We want to spend quality time with the Lord, abiding in Him and Him in us. We want to have an altar before the Lord, as Abraham did, where we could spend time with Him, where we could get to know God better, where we could worship Him. Maybe we need to rebuild the altar this morning. We need to abide in the Lord and spend quality time with Him. So I'll stop there. If someone, we're going to get down to pray and then sing a last hymn.